This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPMRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today, from Houston, Texas, Joan Murray. Now, here's Joan.
Thank you for joining us for our series on defeating fear. Tonight we want to talk about gripped by fear. Can you think of anything throughout your life that may have crippled you for a time? These things were so shocking to your heart that they paralyzed you for a season, such as an unexpected death, a divorce, a sickness or a disease. I saw a story of a child in Iraq during the war that was so shocked when her home was bombed that she just shook and could not speak or focus. To be gripped by anything means to be captured by it, to be caught up in it, to be handicapped by it, and to be controlled by it. People have been known to be paralyzed by fear. This false evidence at times can appear so real and threatening that our bodies react in complete agreement to what is not real. The shock to our minds and emotions at times can devastate us. After September the 11th, and we began to fly after that for our missions trips around the world, I have to really, really battle fear. I shared that with you last time. But in addition to that, what people do, they will put fear in your mind. So someone said to me, a couple years ago, we were flying back from the Philippines. And they said, do you know the date that you're flying back from the Philippines is September the 11th? And I said, yes. And what is going to happen to us? Nothing, because God is in control. And then somebody else said to me, you're flying on another trip. I think this time we were going to Haiti. And they said, do you know that you're flying on October 31st, which is Halloween? And I was like, what does Halloween have to do with the fact that God is in absolute control of our lives and of our destinies? If we are not careful, people will project their fears on us, and we can take on their fears and begin to own it as if it is ours. If you feel crippled by fear, the answer to your freedom is in Jesus. Simply call his name and he will rescue you. Tonight, I want to look at Elijah, who was so crippled by fear, he ran and hid in a cave. God sent the answer to him, and he will do the same for you. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 7. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Let's journey through Elijah's story tonight. There are some lessons in his story about how we can deal with fear. In order to understand why Elijah feared, let's examine who he was. We are introduced to him when he delivered the challenge to Ahab that it would not rain. His name is composed of two Hebrew words, Eli meaning my God and Jah the Lord. His name means my God is Lord. There is no mention of him having a family or another occupation other than being a prophet of God. Elijah had some amazing experiences with God. He was fed by ravens. As I just read to you, they brought him his bread and meat mornings and evenings. Some Jewish people tells this story that the ravens took bread and meat from the royal table of the king of Judah. The story goes that the ravens would swoop down upon his table and disappear with part of his meal on a daily basis. When this became a regular occurrence, the king ordered that a special portion of bread and meat be served with his meals, and the ravens never failed to pick this up. That's such a funny antidote. I don't know if there's any truth in it, but what I want you to see is that God made provision for Elijah in an unusual way. God used Elijah. He raised the widow's son from the dead. Elijah had access to Ahab, the king, and so he spoke a challenging word from God to him. Ahab had set up an altar for Baal in the temple he built for him and worshiped him there. Baal was known as a storm and the rain god. You can see why God stopped the rain. No god but him controls the weather. The Israelites were worshiping this false god of Baal. About 100 years had passed since the time of King David. David had set up a high standard of faithfulness and integrity in serving the true and living God, but the people deviated from it. They completely walked away from this and began to worship this false god of Baal. The Bible says Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any other king before him. He married the evil Jezebel and began to serve her god. So Elijah prophesied that there would be neither dew or rain in the next few years except at his word. Can you see the power and authority God gave him? He totally operated in faith and confidence in what God said. This challenge was directly to the supposed storm and rain god, because Baal was known as that. So Elijah spoke the challenge from God directly to this false god that these people were worshiping. Elijah declared a natural disaster on the people, because drought is a national disaster. Declaring these prophetic words and the manifestations would rule out any idea that this was happening by chance. This was a direct challenge from God against Baal. There were 3.5 years of severe drought, but God took care of Elijah for a season. And then God allowed the brook to dry up, and Elijah began to feel the effects of the drought and the famine. This is when God sent Elijah to the widow at Zarephath, and it was 100-mile journey from where he was. Now we understand how Elijah ended up with the widow at Zarephath. I want you to see something. God is always working on many things in our lives, not just one thing at a time. He allowed Elijah to be in need because he needed to use him to rescue this widow woman. This is a reminder to us that God will at times allow us to struggle so he can use us in greater ways and get greater glory out of our lives. I know sometimes it is even hard to think about going through the struggles, but in the struggles, God does receive greater glory when we gain the victory. God sent Elijah to feed this Gentile widow while there were other widows in Israel who were suffering. Here is what Jesus says in Luke 4, 23 through 26. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon." Like Elijah, Jesus was also used to rescue the Gentiles. And I'm so glad, being I am a Gentile, Turn with me to 1 Kings 18. I'm going to go to verse 10 through verse 16. It says, "As surely as the Lord God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you off when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshiped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here,' he will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" God sent Elijah back to Ahab in the third year of the severe famine. Baal could not stop the famine. He had no power to produce rain, so he could not stop this natural disaster that they were facing. Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace, to go search for grass to feed his horses. Obadiah, as I just read to you, had hid 100 of God's prophets when Jezebel was trying to kill them. So as Obadiah went, he encountered Elijah. And then Elijah gives him this message to go tell Ahab that he was here. Obadiah knew what Ahab would do, so he feared that Ahab would kill him, because Ahab had hunted for Elijah in many nations during the years of famine without success. Isn't that so amazing that God would hide Elijah in a Gentile nation, knowing that no one would look for him there? And so Obadiah's fear was that after telling Ahab, Elijah would be captured away by the Spirit of the Lord, and he would carry Elijah off, and then he would lose his life. Yet he obeyed, even though he was gripped with fear. When Ahab saw Elijah, he said, "Is that you, the troubler of Israel?" Elijah told him he and his family were the ones who caused the trouble in Israel for following after Baal, this false god. Elijah then commanded him to bring all the prophets of Baal, 450 plus 400 prophets of Asherah. The contest took place on Baal's territory. God took this contest directly into the enemy's camp. Elijah challenged the Israelites on their lack of sincere commitment and devotion to God. This is where many believers are today. We are not as sincerely sold out in our walk and in our relationship with God. So Elijah challenged them on their lack of devotion and commitment. The prophets of Baal went first during this contest. They prayed, they leaped, they cut themselves for hours, and their God did not show up. Elijah built an altar, dig a ditch around it, put the sacrifice upon top of the wood, and called for water, which was scarce during that time, because you remember, they're in the midst of the famine, but now it is his turn, and he's about to take it up another level. So after he received the water, he poured it over the sacrifice three times: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Elijah then called on God, and he immediately, no time lapse, no waiting, no pleading for his help like the prophets of Baal had to do, instantly God sent fire down and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and licked up all the water in the ditch, no doubting who was the most powerful God. This contest was a demonstration of who God was. Our God is all powerful. Elijah killed all the prophets of Baal, and then he ran into some problems with Jezebel. Turn with me to 1 Kings 19, verse 1 through verse 6. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.' Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I've had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again." After the mighty ways in which God used him, Elijah allowed fear to grip his heart. Jezebel promised to kill him. So fear began to cripple him. But instead of facing it and overcoming it, he ran. He knew with absolute surety that Jezebel would kill him without hesitation. She was merciless and had killed others. But Elijah seemed to have forgotten in this instance who God was and who he was. He did what some of us would do. He forgot that God was with him and that God would fight for him. He forgot that for 3+ years, Ahab could not find him because God hid him so completely with the Gentiles. Remember this, the same God who did this could have protected Elijah, but he forgot who his God was. This is a God who fed him by the ravens night and day. After he prophesied, God stopped the rain for 3+ years because of his words. God fed the widow woman and her son for those years during the famine because Elijah was in her life. God raised this widow's son from the dead using Elijah. God showed up the moment he prayed and consumed the sacrifice and demonstrated he was greater than Baal. God gave him boldness to kill all the prophets of Baal. God sent angels to feed him while hiding. Yet in fear and panic, he ran. He became discouraged and even got depressed. We could all really just camp here because many of us, we get discouraged after we've prayed and after we've done much for God and we don't see the results that we're after. And we wonder, where is God and why is he not moving and why is he not listening to us? I know I have been there when you have prayed and you've stood and you've waited and you're not getting the breakthroughs. Sometimes discouragement will set in and we will forget who our God is. So Elijah, now he's discouraged. And he's depressed. He wavered in his faith. He felt sorry for himself and was having a pity party. He told God he had had enough and to take his life. Then he fell asleep, possible from worry and stress and exhaustion. He had walked 40 days and nights to get to Mount Horeb, a distance of 100 miles, to get away from the threat of Jezebel. You may ask the question, why Mount Horeb? Mount Horeb is known as a mountain of God. Mount Horeb was the first mention in Exodus 3 verse 1 when Moses saw the burning bush. In Deuteronomy 11, 6 through 8, it was at Mount Horeb Moses told the people God had given them the promised land. In Exodus 17, 6, it tells us that Mount Horeb was where Moses struck the rock and got drinking water for the complaining Israelites. Exodus 33, 1 through 6 suggests that Mount Horeb was a location from which the Israelites set off towards Canaan as they resumed their Exodus journey. 1 Kings 8 and 9 and 2 Chronicles 5 and 10, we are told that the Ark of the Covenant along with the tablets were delivered to Moses at Mount Horeb. Even though Elijah was on the run, he ran to where God was and not away from him when God caused him to face difficulties. And I believe that's an important point, because sometimes when we're facing our challenges, we don't run to God, we run away from him, because we reason that since he's allowed us to enter these challenges and he's big enough to stop these things from happening in our lives, we will run away from him instead of to him, because we may blame him for the struggles that we're facing. When fear tries to overcome you, run to God. Don't run away from him. In 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13, I want to share this passage with you. 1 Kings 19, verse 9 through verse 13. It says, "There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.' The Lord says, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave." While fearful and exhausted, God visited Elijah. God asked him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you running, Elijah? Why are you hiding? Why are you cowering from the enemy? Why are you not standing and facing the enemy, because you know that I'm on your side? Why are you downcast? Why are you depressed? Why do you feel as if you're the only one left that I can use?" Elijah had allowed his fear to confuse him, so he did not remember who he served as he was facing this crisis he faced. So God asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah had no reason to be on the run from fear, because he knew God. He knew what God could do. God had powerfully used him throughout his life. God was surely with him, but the fear of losing his life caused him to forget that. But in great love and compassion, God redeemed Elijah from the grip of fear. He showed Elijah himself in an unusual way. The scripture told us a powerful wind tore through the mountains and shattered the rocks, but God was not in the wind. Then an earthquake shook the earth, but the Lord was not in it. Then a fire erupted, but the Lord was not in the fire. Then a gentle whisper, that is where God was. He showed Elijah that in quietness and in confidence in God, he would find his strength. Isaiah 30, verse 15. There was no need to fear. God was not only with him, but God was all around him. There was no need to let the lies of the enemy paralyze him, which is what happened to him as he faced the enemy. After the reminder of God's presence, Elijah was restored. He knew he would not die but live to finish the work God gave him. God gave him some new assignments to fulfill. So Elijah went from pitiful to powerful in conquering his fear. I want to share some scriptures with you of how well he finished his life. In 2 Kings 11, it tells us that he did not see death. God took him home in a whirlwind. The only other person who experienced this was Enoch. Listen to what the Bible says about Elijah. In Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to go before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." In Mark 9, verse 4, it says, "And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus." In Matthew 17, 11 through 12, Jesus said, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Luke 1:17, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the widow of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The devil cannot take your life prematurely when you have purpose and when God is with you. There are people who will try to project their fears on you. Don't take it. Some people have questioned our mission trips. If God is not powerful enough or faithful enough to redeem us from harm, then he's not powerful enough. And we all know how powerful and how amazing our God is. I believe we are safest in God's will. As long as God gives me a few brave people, we will go where he sends us, and we will not allow fear to stop us. You can conquer fear and finish well by understanding who is on your side. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "So be strong and very courageous, for God is with you." Lord, I just pray over them today that you would let this word anchor their hearts, their souls, and their minds. That even though Elijah was gripped with fear, that you came and rescued him. And just like you rescued Elijah, you will rescue every single one who's listening to this message today. You are such a faithful God. And I just thank you so much that in the midst of our struggles, that you'll be faithful. So would you give your children peace in the middle of whatever has gripped their lives? And would you set them free and give them a testimony of your goodness?
You have been listening to Joan Murray on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Thanks for listening.
This is Dale Gentry, President and Founder of Breakout Ministries, reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com. 18 hours of continuous preaching being heard across America and around the globe here on your internet prayer station. For a complete listing of all of our preachers each Sunday, go to bpnradio.com. And if you would like to minister every Sunday on Preaching Sunday, you can contact Rick Gentry at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. That's rickgentry@bpnradio@gmail.com. Or you can call Rick at 214-918-8707, 214-918-8707. Or if you would like to sponsor one of our young preachers on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com, you can call Rick Gentry with the above information. Stay tuned for another sermon here on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com.